Terry Savage, the money lady. You know her from terrysavage.com and also from her many syndicated newspaper columns, including in the Chicago papers, but regularly here on Wednesdays. Hi, Terry Savage.
Hello, John. Let's see if we can set a record today for not leaving anyone hanging. I felt so bad about that last week. So I don't have any major key points to make. So let's just go to questions.
Hey, Terry, can you please tell me how I can buy treasury bonds and what are the terms of them?
Okay, that's an interesting way to phrase the question. The government sells debt, treasury bills, which are short term, year or less, treasury notes, 2 years or more, and treasury bonds, which are longer term IOUs. A treasury also sells savings bonds. So when you ask me how to buy treasury bonds, I'm not sure whether you're referring to Series I savings bonds or whether you're referring to just IOUs from the government. But let me tell you that the most commonly purchased, they can all be purchased through the website treasurydirect.gov. It's very easy to open an account. You need your name, Social Security address, and you need to link that treasurydirect.gov account to a bank account, a money market account, or a checking account, and the money's taken directly out when you buy T-bills, notes, or bonds. Now, if you go to terrysavage.com, on the right-hand side, scroll down under important links, I think it says, there's an article called How to Buy Treasury Bills, and another one called Everything You Need to Know About I-Bonds, with links that will tell you how to go about opening an account. But if I assume you're talking about treasury bills, 6-month T-bills, you never know exactly what the yield will be when you buy them, but I can look on the market, trading markets right now, and see that 6-month T-bills are currently yielding a little over 4%, 4.6%. The auctions are 4.06%. The auctions are held on Monday, midday. So you set up your account and say, next Monday, buy for my account, whatever, $500 worth of T-bills, $5,000. You will get the average rate set at the auction. They take the money right out of your account. So that's how T-bills work. Actually, they don't take the full $5,000.
Right.
They'll take a little bit less. They leave the interest in your account. You get it up front. And notably, you do not pay state income tax on the interest you earn on these T-bills.
What's the best way to determine, Terry, if I should get T-bills or I-bonds or, you know, there's different products out there and they all sound about the same.
Yeah, they're all from the government, but I-bonds require you to hold them for 5 years. There's a base rate, a fixed base rate, and then there's an inflation adjustment that changes every 6 months in May and November. If you're planning to put money away for a long time and you want some inflation protection, that's where you'd buy I-bonds.
Right.
But I think for most of our listeners who are going, wait a minute, I just want to earn safely. That's the safest thing in the world. The whole world agrees. The safest thing you can put your money into is short-term U.S. government treasury bills. I mean, there might be some who say, well, wait, you should do Bitcoin or you should do gold. But in terms of liquid interest-bearing places to put your money, that's where you want to go.
Terry, my father-in-law used to give my boys on their birthdays and Christmas, was it e-bonds?
Yes. Were they paper bonds?
Yes. And we've got them in an envelope somewhere. I don't even know where it is, but I'll bet I've got 25 of them, maybe 30 of them, and they're for 50 or 100 bucks. I don't remember. It depends on the year and the denomination. And so those things are, you know, 20, 30 years old. I presume they've matured. What do I do with those?
Well, then you have to go to Treasury Direct. Most the banks used to redeem your Series E bonds, but now very few banks will redeem your Series E bonds. So you have to go to treasurydirect.gov, send them in with a signature, and get them put in. It's a very complicated process.
Oh, great, great. Well, that'll be great, Terry. That's just wonderful. why can't we find? I guess that's my bad. We should have. But frankly, we were supposed to hold on to them for a very long time. So
yes,
it's not like I was doing anything wrong. We were supposed to do nothing. Hey, Terry, I have a friend whose husband just passed away. Both of them had Treasury Direct accounts, and she can't figure out how to access his account now that he's gone.
Okay, here's a gift to everybody, a sidebar to this question. At the top of terrysavage.com, is a box called Personal Financial Organizer Form. You can print it out. You can print out 22 of them. It's a form that you fill in and leave in your top drawer, and it's a place where you list all your credit cards, the account numbers, the toll-free number to call in case your wallet's stolen, because, of course, the credit card is stolen with the number on the back of it to call for if it's stolen, of course. And to list things like, where's my safe deposit box, who's my lawyer, where's my will, and my Treasury Direct account, my Schwab account, my Merrill Lynch account, all of those things. It's for contact information. You can actually fill it out online and print it out. I don't see that. Or you can print it out in blank.
Terry, if
now,
I...
Wait. I want to answer that specific question.
Got it.
That's a horrible thing to happen. You know there's an account, and you don't know the account, how to access it. You don't know the password.
Yeah. Pardon me. Yeah.
Go to terrysavage.com and post... I won't print your email, but give me your phone number. I'll get back to you. And I will ask you to send me by email all your information, not your Social Security number, but the name that the account was in, the address the account was in. And of all things, the one place I still have a really terrific pal is at Treasury Direct. So in the Treasury Department, he helps me help people find their accounts.
Friend of mine's husband passed away suddenly, and I don't care if you're 20 or if you're 120. If you died tomorrow, and none of us knows when that's going to happen, does your spouse, significant other, does somebody who needs to now have that information know where it is? Have you set it aside? If you haven't done that, you're just gambling with somebody else's financial future or aggravation, right? It's something that we all should do, and I'm only recently started to do a better job of that myself. There's my advice to everybody, and I don't give advice. At least not very good advice usually. Terry Savage is here. What's the matter, Terry?
No, I was reading something online. I'm about Washington, D.C. and what's going on. I'm going to be in Washington next week. Actually, on Tuesday. I'll be back in time for the show on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be very interested to see if I notice what's going on in the streets of D.C.
You mean, like, is there anybody there?
No. Is it full of, you know, law enforcement?
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder if, because of the way the president has been depicting life in Washington, D.C., if people are even afraid to go there. It's so lawless that four states have sent the National Guard and the FBI is rounding people up. So maybe that sounds safer and better to go, or maybe it sounds crazy.
I'm speaking for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, you know, which I recommend all the time for nonprofit trusted credit counseling. There's a big article on where to go for credit counseling right on the homepage. It's been up there since January. I've changed the headline. Yeah. It says, how to get out of debt in the new year. We're halfway through. Are you still in debt? Has your debt increased? I'm going to be on a panel. There is a sense that underneath all the happy days are here again, and the stock market at new highs, individuals, people are charging up not only their credit cards, but the buy now, pay later with statistics, which don't really show up, you know, but which are debt. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on in Washington.
I'd be interested to hear, if you go out to a restaurant, how busy is it? One national website for restaurant reservations says that in Washington, D.C., since the president liberated Washington, D.C., reservations are down 25%. So tell me what the restaurant scene looks like, too.
I'll try and do that for you.
Hey, Terry Savage, here's a question for you. I think it's rather unusual because I never worked under Social Security, but in March, I got a $45,000 check from them, and now I get $2,200 a month. Have you heard of this before? Please answer. I want to read the first part. I think it's rather unusual because I never worked under Social Security, but in March I got a $45,000 check from them, and now I get $2,200 a month.
Well, is this someone on the phone, or it's just an email?
It's just a text message. Yeah, 262. We need more information. What do you mean you worked under Social Security? You never did. You mean you were working for a school?
I think you probably worked in a public service job.
Yeah,
and while it's, well, Social Security might not, there are some public service jobs that actually paid into Social Security, even though you might not have been aware of it. You need to create a My Social Security account.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, to find out what happened, I would suspect that you received that catch-up contribution when they, the Fairness Act said that you suddenly didn't have to worry about the offset. But I hate for you to rock that boat, but don't spend that $45,000 check. I never heard of anybody getting a check that large.
And I wouldn't tell them either.
But I would create a My Social Security account.
Yeah.
So go to ssa.gov, create a My Social Security account, and then please don't go out and buy a new house and use that as a down payment.
Hey, Terry, how much money do you get for every $1,000 right now in 3-month or 6-month T-bills?
Well, let's just make it an even amount, 4% if you bought a 6-month T-bill now. So on $1,000, would get $40 in, let me just do the math here. You would get, see what happens, people call me all the time and say, I didn't get the full $400. But the fact is it's only 6 months, you get half of that.
Well, it'd be $20. 4% of 1,000 is, 40, so 20. So you get $20 for 6 months?
You get $20 left in your account for the first 6 months.
Here's a Social Security question for Terry. I'm turning 62 in 2026. Next year, this person turns 62. My husband is the same age. My husband's Social Security monthly payment will be far larger than mine. We have been told that I can start taking my Social Security monthly payments when I turn 62, and then when my husband starts taking his payments, sometimes later, closer to age 70, he will get his full Social Security benefit, and my benefit will increase to be half of his. Is that true?
Well, that, again, depends on each of your benefits. First of all, your accounts are separate, so whatever you do does not impact him, and that's number one. You will be able to collect half of his full benefit as a spouse, 100% if you were to die before you, but half of it as a spouse at your full retirement age. But there's a trick to this, and the trick is that they sometimes offset benefits. I don't know how big your benefit is, but you want to make sure you're not starting to collect half of his benefit early, in which case it would not increase. So the best way to do this calculation, and I'm ducking around here, I've already just proved I'm brilliant at math, is to go to maximizemysocialsecurity.com. Maximize, that's Larry Kotlikoff's website.
Yep.
Put in your information, and it will give you the claiming strategy that best gives you the maximum benefits over your lifetime. So it is possible that you would have a different and larger benefit by claiming half of his, but only if when you claim your own, they aren't using it as an offset against his. So you have to be very careful about that.
Rob, ask your question. We might answer it on the other side of the news, but what do you have for Terry, Rob?
Well, I wanted to say that my wife is a retired Illinois school teacher. She also received a large check from Social Security, and she's now receiving a monthly benefit. She never paid into Social Security. And our concern is whether Social Security will come back and claw back that money that she received.
How much money did she get, Rob?
$28,000 check plus like $1,300 a month now.
That's about half of what the other person was getting. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a pretty sizable sum when unexpectedly receiving that.
How many checks have you received? How long has she been getting this money?
She received the $28,000 check, and she's probably received 3 or 4. $1,300 checks.
Okay, one last question. Have you guys spent any of that money?
Oh, no. We put it into a CD.
Okay.
I have been furiously researching because I know for sure that that WEP offset that was repealed, the windfall elimination provision that was repealed as of January 1st, 2024, said that if you were entitled to Social Security benefits, but they were reduced or you didn't get them because you also had a public service pension, that they would go back retroactive to January 2024, pay you those benefits for that year, and start giving you your full Social Security benefit. But I have to tell you, and I've looked in two places now, and I did not realize that even if you didn't pay into Social Security, and I'm going to research this further, I have two places now. Number one reads, if your public service employment was not covered by Social Security, meaning you didn't pay Social Security taxes on those earnings, you still may be eligible to receive Social Security benefits. Here's another one. I'm using AI now to do this search, so I always question AI. Just wrote a column you'll read soon on AI, so I always double check. But this says, previously, if you received a pension from employment that wasn't covered by Social Security, meaning you didn't pay Social Security taxes on that income, and you were also entitled, wait a minute, I'm trying to find where I saw this. I'm going to have to do some more research.
Wow. That's amazing.
I also reached out to the Illinois teachers, but I got put on my whole time was going to be 4 minutes longer than the commercial break.
Yeah.
The teachers retirement system of the state of Illinois. Now, I have two of you that have the same or similar problem. Could you possibly have received that benefit all the way back? So let's just suppose your Social Security benefit was about $2,000 a month, and by the time you got it in February, you have now 12, 13, 14 months, you would have gotten 20-something thousand and then the benefit. But the question is, are there, and I kind of remember this, are there some teachers' pensions I'm going to have to find out.
Yeah.
I'll go right to work after this show researching it.
Rob, good luck to you, and stay tuned, and you can communicate with Terry on her website. Nice problem to have, but she also has told the previous caller, don't spend it yet.
You don't spend it all in one place. Let me do some research.
312-981-7200. This about a 31-year-old woman. I have extra money at the end of each month and would like to know if I should put it towards my mortgage or put it into my retirement account.
I would say the retirement account, unless you have a very high-rate mortgage. If your mortgage is under 7%, just add to that retirement account where it can grow and compound.
Kevin, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. Hi, Kevin. What can we do for you?
Hi, Terry. Hi, John.
Hey.
I just wanted to comment on the question about the WEP business. So my wife was now a retired school teacher. And she was not going to receive Social Security, but once they repealed the law and it came back into existence, she received a lump sum payment about a year and a half ago. And she now receives Social Security with a monthly stipend. And I don't think anybody's coming to claw back any of those dollars, because I've gone to my Social Security, and reviewed all her documents, and it's all written out and clear right there what they're paying out. And then the first thing I told her is, hey, get 10% deducted to go out to income tax every month.
Well, that's good.
What was the lump sum, and what are the monthly payments?
Well, her monthly payment right now is around $1,000.
She's getting $1,000. And what was the lump sum?
A little over $20,000.
So that's like the previous callers, Terry.
Well, everything I'm reading here, I just, frankly, honestly, I always thought it was because they were entitled to Social Security or a spousal Social Security benefit, but they had a pension, that theirs was reduced. I never realized, and I really, again, want to double check this, that, in fact, even, and I'm looking at more now, some states impacted teachers in 15 states where they didn't even pay into Social Security. And that includes Illinois. And so it appears, but I just don't want to make a blanket statement.
Sure, but
here.
I want to ask Kevin this question. This applies to the other people that are saying the same thing, Kevin. I wonder if, though, when you were younger, your spouse was younger, did you have a job part-time working at Marshall Fields or at the grocery store, and you did pay Social Security taxes then? Is that part of maybe where this money is coming from, Kevin?
Well, she did have that, but she never completed her 40 quarters.
Ah,
yeah. In order to collect Social Security, you need to get your 40 quarters in.
Yeah.
She never completed those.
Wow, really interesting story. All right, Kevin, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for calling in on that. Hey, Ms. Savage, in general, do you suggest that we all work until we're 67?
Yeah, if you can, but for a bunch of reasons. You could be bored if you didn't work, but of course, there's a lot of great things you could do. But we're living longer. You need to save more, and you can only save if you're earning something. If you hate the job, I'm not advising that you stick with it till the very last minute because you'll be so miserable. How long could your retirement be? But you should work as long as you possibly can. Just on general principles, and I hope you get to love the work you do. 67 is a critical year because that's when you get your full Social Security benefit. And by quitting even a year or two early, you permanently reduce your base check.
Yeah, we've heard that before, and I'm glad you brought that up again. Hey, Terry, I'm more comfortable dealing with my bank and my investment company. Instead of opening up yet another Treasury direct account, why don't I just purchase a certificate of deposit at 4.1% instead of going to Treasury direct to get a T-bill at the same rate? Is it the same? Terry, answer that in just a minute. Let's get a business update first. There's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The foreclosure process is moving forward for the Club Quarters Hotel in Chicago's Loop. Crane says the hotel's lender is about to seize the property at 111 West Adams. The Club Quarters Hotel has 429 rooms and occupies floors 3 through 10 of the building. The report says the foreclosure could also impact the office to apartment conversion project in the building. The office floors above the hotel are being turned into 400 apartments. It's possible the new owners could contest the zoning that's allowing that conversion to take place. A Chicago-based company that makes overnight oats and protein bars is about to hit a new revenue high mark. Mush is nearing $100 million in revenue. The company's products include prepackaged cups of overnight oats, oatmeal smoothie pouches for kids, and protein bars. Just 2 years ago, Mush products were available in 12,000 stores nationwide, and now that number is up to 17,500 stores. Mush's revenue is up from $55 million last year. The company's products are available at Walmart and Costco, among other places. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yeah, this is the business of food, so we're going to talk about shoes. Because shoes are made from the leather of the animals that were slaughtered for food, so...
That's great. I love it.
That's Peter Hoenig. He and his family have been selling shoes in Chicago for a long time.
Well, it started in 1944. It was called the Slipper Box. It was at Clark and Diversey.
And over the decades, the Hoenig family has operated many shoe stores in Chicago, either on their own or leasing space in clothing stores and department stores. But after more than 80 years, there will soon be no more Hoenig stores in the city of Chicago. Why? After I thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out more. Try one on at ChevyDrivesChicago.com. You can still try on shoes at Hoenig's in the Hancock Building, but not for much longer.
We'll probably wind up by the end of September.
Peter Hoenig's son Daniel is now running the three-generation company, and they have a very busy store in Wilmette that's been there for 30 years, as well as a successful internet store.
One of the things we've done over the years is we've tried to have interesting stuff. We don't want to look like everybody else.
He says that's been the key to their success with imported designs from Italy and other parts of the world.
Our largest supplier is in a very small Italian factory right outside of Milan.
Many generations of families have shopped at Hoenig's.
Some customers who've shopped with us for 40 years, which is a testament, one, to the product, but mainly to the people who are selling the shoes. They create relationships and people come back.
Hoenigs did well with locals and visitors, but when the pandemic emptied out downtown offices, a lot of shoe buyers went away, and other retail stores did too.
The loss of Macy's.
That hurt.
And then you had the block across the street, which was H&M, Uniqlo. That entire block is empty now.
He says there are signs of life.
Michigan Avenue is coming back.
But the Hoenigs store on Delaware in the Hancock Building will not be part of the revival. On the calendar, it's National Chocolate Pecan Pie Day, National Bacon Lovers Day, and it is National Radio Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Money Lady Terry Savage.com's on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry, any updates?
Yeah, let me just put this to the side. I'm at the Social Security SSA.gov website. I'm just going to read you something. This is updated July 21st, and they write, we know that some press articles have mentioned teachers, firefighters, etc., when discussing the new law. However, and this is critical, only people who receive a pension based on work not covered by Social Security may see benefit increases. If you have already paid Social Security, they said you weren't affected by the WEP. Look, obviously, this applies to even work not covered by Social Security where you did not contribute. So it's entirely possible that you could have received a nice windfall check for the 12 months of 2024 and up until the month where you received the check. You should also know that that big hunk of money is taxable at your marginal tax rate. So come next April, which is pretty soon, you are going to owe money. And in fact, you should, if you got a big check, you want to talk with your accountant now, because maybe you should make a quarterly estimated tax payment.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's go back to a couple of questions. I just want to read these again because they're similar. Terry, if I buy T-bills through Chase Private Client, do I get the same rate if I buy them through the government?
It depends. Chase may be buying them for you in the aftermarket. And if the rate last Monday was 4.16 and they buy them for you on a Thursday and yields have come down, you may get a slightly lower yield. You also, I don't know if Chase charges a service fee for doing that. Mm-hmm. I really like for people to set up their own account at treasurydirect.gov. I don't get a commission for that, and you don't pay a fee for that. That just says whatever the big institutions from around the world bidding on the appropriate rate to pay the government for 6 month T-bills when the Monday auction takes place, I agree to accept whatever average rate is set. And that way you get the rate at the auction. You have your own account. You have your password. It's secure. You go online. You can see your account. You can say right on your account at treasurydirect.gov, automatically renew 3 or 4 times for the next 6 month T-bills when they come up. 26 weeks is how they designate them there. And then you don't have to worry about, did I renew? It'll automatically happen at whatever the rate is, and the interest will drop back into that linked bank account.
Terry, I'm more comfortable dealing with my bank and my investment company instead of opening up yet another Treasury Direct account. Why don't I just buy a CD at 4.1?
You can do that. There have been times when rates were rising that the T-bill rate rose faster than the rate that the banks were paying. The banks, A, didn't need the money. There wasn't a lot of mortgage demand. Rates were going up. So they would have CDs for a six-month period at, you know, let's just say 3.5, and you could get 4 or 4.25 on T-bills. So whenever there's a differential, you want to be in T-bills. But otherwise, you're FDIC insured. And the other thing is you can put an unlimited amount in Treasury Direct, millions, and you have total direct government insurance. You know about the limits on FDIC insurance in your checking accounts or bank accounts SIPC insurance of your brokerage firm. I don't think that's ever, I hope to God that won't ever be an issue. But people who have larger amounts of money feel better going direct to the Treasury.
Jill, I've got maybe a minute left. Jill, how can we help you? You're on WGN with Terry Savage.
Hi, Terry. Quick question. I'm almost 67. And my husband died in 2017, I'm a teacher. Well, was a teacher. I'm retired and collecting teacher retirement. But anyways, so immediately when WEP was, you know, passed, I called and they said, oh, yes, you know, that they could do it. And they said, well, what about, you know, 2024? And at the time they said, well, we don't know, blah, 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 blah. Well, I did start receiving my monthly check from Social Security for my husband's spouse for the death benefit. Mm-hmm. And then I have found out other people are getting beyond, you know,
yeah, January. We write about this in our book. It's called The Widow Scam and Social Security Perpetrates It. What I want you to do, I may be too late to change this, but I'm going to send you again to MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com because they probably chose your benefit or your spouse, your full benefit, even at the time without the WEP, and your spouse's full benefit, which you're entitled to as a widow, and they probably clicked on your spousal benefit. Once you started receiving that, yours goes by the wayside and you didn't get that WEP adjustment. I don't know if it's too late to go back and do that, but you can get an answer at MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com.
Okay, we got to end it there. Jill, good luck. Wow, that's so critical and interesting and helpful today, Terry. Lots of ground covered. Thank you so much for helping our listeners out today.
Thank you, John. See you after I go to Washington and find out what's going on there. I'll be back next week.
I want a report from Terry next Wednesday.